Carla, would you please read item number 68?
Authorize a contract with the lowest responsive bidder for construction of the Bybee Glenwood Culvert Replacement Project, number E10480, for $2,228,000.
Colleagues, this ordinance would authorize a contract for a project to replace two more culverts at Crystal Springs Creek, one at Southeast Bybee Boulevard and one at Southeast Glenwood Street near Southeast 23rd Avenue. Environmental Services has worked with a multitude of community partners to replace seven of the nine culverts on the creek. These culverts prevent endangered salmon from reaching some of the city's best salmon habitat. This project would replace the last two culverts that had blocked fish passage for many years. Turn it over to Scott or Caitlin.
Yeah, thank you, and good morning. Yeah, for the record, my name is Scott Gibson. With me today is Caitlin Lovell, who's the in charge of our, let's see, they have a brand new name, right? Caitlin, Science Integration Division, which is newly formed, and David Olongi from the Bureau of Transportation, who is the bridge engineer responsible for designing the transportation elements, including the culvert structure. We are here today to ask for authorization to enter into a contract for construction of the Bybee Glenwood culvert replacement projects. And before we get into the details, I'm going to ask Caitlin to give us a little bit of background and context for this project.
This project, good morning. My name is Caitlin Lovell. As Scott said, I manage the Science Integration Division and have overseen all of the work that's been going on in Crystal Springs since 2010. As mentioned, this is the last of the culvert projects that we had going in. It's a remnant of our Greater Green initiative. And the goals are to restore juvenile fish passage in Crystal Springs Creek. We've seen fish coming back already from the previous projects that we've done. We've already seen drastic improvements in water quality, and we've already seen reduction in flooding. And in particular, these two culverts specifically will save Union Manor over $1.5 million of flood proofing that they need to do as part of their HUD renovations because of the reduction in the flooding that would happen behind these culverts, or that does happen now behind these culverts. As I mentioned, it's a multi-year effort that started in 2010. This particular project is going to replace the last two culverts that restrict upstream passage of juvenile salmonids, and it'll restore over 400 linear feet of streams. These pictures are examples of some of our prior projects.
All right. So I'd like to give you a brief scope of the project. The location, of course, is in Southeast on Bybee Boulevard near McLaughlin. And there are two culverts, as the project would indicate, the Glenwood Street culvert and the Bybee Street culvert. Those will be replaced to provide fish passage and improve flood conveyance. We also are going to restore areas along the banks within the reach, and we'll be doing a significant amount of right-of-way improvements, and I'd ask David Olongi to talk a little bit about the right-of-way improvements that are associated with this work.
Thank you. This project has been a great collaboration between Bureau of Transportation and Bureau of Environmental Services. Normally, when we're building bridges, we're connecting people. This time, we're connecting fish, so it was nice for us to think outside the box. But at the same time, we needed to make sure while we were replacing the culverts that people could still get through their business and school and recreation activities. So we're actually dividing the construction to two halves, building half the roadway at a time so that both bikes, pedestrians, and cars can still pass through the site at all times while we're constructing the culvert, which did marginally increase the cost, but the benefit substantially outweighed that cost based on serving the community. But when we're finished, we will have complete infrastructure for bike, pedestrians, and vehicles through the site, as well as complete infrastructure for fish to get to their nesting place.
Thanks, David. So through the design process, we settled on a 14-foot diameter box culvert that would replace the two 48-inch culverts. There were a bunch of design considerations which led us to the box, but we can answer questions on those if you have any. David's already talked to about the need to upgrade 23rd Avenue and as well as the Southwest Bybee for pedestrian bicycle improvements in order to stage the work properly. We're providing street trees and reconstructing the intersections or the signals at the intersections. So moving forward, we're going to advertise in early 2016. I'm estimating the second week in February. Our level of confidence is high. We'll come back with the Christine will come back with a purchasing report on the results of that procurement, and we intend to start construction in May of 2016. We'll construct through this summer and wrap up in November. We do have a very tight in-stream work window, which we're complying with, and it's difficult, and we're going to stage the work to get it all done within the weeks that are safe for fish. And that's it. Any questions?
Very nice. Colleagues?
So a box culvert, can you explain? I thought the culverts we use now don't have a bottom, like they're three-sided.
Yeah, so
they have natural soil on the bottom.
So we had some considerations which led us away from a three-sided box with a foundation that spans the creek, soft soils, groundwater, and the presence of an existing brick sewer, large diameter brick sewer that we didn't want to load. So what we settled with was what we call a box culvert because it's a complete box along the bottom as well. And what we do is we backfill that with native stream materials so that as far as the fish are concerned, it's a native bottom. But structurally, it functions different. David, did I?
That's exactly right. We had super soft soil at this location, which really surprised us all. I think the geotechnical engineer compared it to toothpaste, which may have been an exaggeration, but it would have made any other foundation type very costly. So the simplest way is just to make a concrete box, a rigid box. And then, as Scott says, even the fish will be fooled because we'll be backfilling that box with native soil, with boulders and cobbles, so that nobody would actually know, except the designers, that it was actually a closed box.
You're suggesting the fish will be fooled because they are a low IQ species?
No, because we did such a great job masquerading the engineering.
All right, okay, thank you.
Nice answer.
And I just want to ask Caitlin, so what does it mean that these are the last two restricted flow culverts? What does that mean for the fish?
It means that when they turn from the Willamette into Johnson Creek, they have absolutely no barriers now to get to Reed College or up to the headwaters of Crystal Springs Lake. So it is a completely open 2.7-mile cold water stream in the urban core, which is really unique in this country.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Colleagues, just two comments, then we'll see if anyone wants to testify. This Crystal Springs restoration project, which at one time or another has involved Parks Bureau, BES, transportation, Army Corps of Engineers, the surrounding neighborhood association, a cast of thousands, has earned a lot of attention locally, but recently was featured in the New York Times as a nationally significant project in the fight to promote safe passage for salmon and salmon habitat in an urban setting. So congratulations to everyone for that. And the other thing I just want to brag about Caitlin for a second. This past year, every year, Mike Houck and others organize a policy makers ride, and we go around looking at great accomplishments from the past year. And we stopped at Crystal Springs, and Mike Houck asked Caitlin to do the presentation, and she kind of told the history of why and what and the benefits, and just did a wonderful job representing her bureau in the city. So congratulations for your work. Carla, anyone sign up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this item.
Anyone want to testify? If not, this proceeds to a second reading. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful project and a great example of cross-bureau collaboration.
Thank you. Okay, Carla.